the Lord, even on the snow day. Amen. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord, especially on a snow day. Amen. Because what you being here is saying is it don't make no, never mind what's coming up against you. You're going to be in the house of the. Bless God. Bless God for all of you that are here in person and those of you that are online. I ain't mad at you. I understand. Amen. But I just thank God that when I look around the room and see some people that say, for him I live, for him I die, for him I live, and for him I drive on the ice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister Wilma came in and she was coming through the hallway looking like a little Eskimo, but she was here. Amen. She said, I'm cold, but I'm here. I'm cold, but I'm here. Amen. We bless God. We bless God. Listen, what's our youth church looking like tonight? Over youth church is up. Youth church is up. Amen. Amen. And we're experiencing some technical difficulties with our children's church this week, but we'll be up and running again next week. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Won't be before you long. Thank God for everyone that is here. I'm glad you made it safely. Praying for your traveling mercies, for your way home or your next destination. Thank God for all of the visitors that's in the house today. I want to talk to you real quickly from the sermon series entitled Real Disciples. And I'm going to tell you something I have been battling. And for those of you that have been here for a while, you know that I have hard times. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Resurrection Sunday. Did he say Resurrection Sunday? Resurrection Sunday, Christmas, Thanksgiving. I have a hard time. And this is going to sound cold, but I want you just to hear me interrupting the regularly programmed service. Amen. I promise I've been working on Christmas sermons for 2 weeks. Ain't nothing came yet. Amen. And the reason that God is not allowing me to deviate from real disciples, and I'm not saying that I'm not going to preach about the birth of Jesus and all that. Don't know, you know. I'm just telling you that I'm going to do what God tell me to do, amen? And right now, especially as we're exiting, it looks like we're exiting 2025, which has been an extremely challenging year. This has been a year that I thank God for, but I thank God it's almost over. Amen. Yeah. This has been. But a lot of times what we do is we like to coast into the new year. But what I want to do is prepare us for the new year. And so today we're going to unpack chapter 3 or series number 3 of Real Disciples. You know, ever since God has had me start this series, my sin sense has been on 10. My sin sense has been on 10. Now I know that some of you are trying to figure out what I'm talking about when I say my sin sense. Let me explain it like this. I got some grandkids and they keep me somewhat young as far as what to watch on TV. And so every now and again, I get caught up with having to watch Spider-Man. Anybody used to watch Spider-Man when you was younger? Some of you might still watch Spider-Man. And if you ever watched Spider-Man, whether you watched it all the time you watched it every now and again. One thing that you was aware of was his spidey sense. And I looked this up because I just wanted to make sure I wasn't tripping and that I had really watched this and seen that Spider-Man had a spidey sense. And so I'm going to give you the technical definition for spidey sense, and then I'm going to give you the hood definition. Is that all right? And the technical definition says that spidey sense is a precognitive, intuitive ability that gives him a tingling sensation, warning him of imminent, unseen, or complex danger. Let me say that again. Spidey sense is a precognitive, intuitive ability that gives him a tingling sensation, warning him of imminent, unseen, or complex danger. Allowing for near instant reactions like dodging bullets or navigating without sight, essentially functioning as an advanced sixth sense rooted in his Spider-Man powers. Even picking up on specific frequencies and threats like venom that bypass normal systems and senses, that's the technical version. But the hood version, the hood definition is, the spidey sense is simply being able to feel when something ain't right. Being able to feel like you know you're in danger. And in the spiritual world, we call this discernment. And every born-again believer has a certain amount of discernment, which increases, I want you to catch this, as the believer matures in the spirit. That discernment will mature as you grow in the spirit. Real quickly, I want to teach you something about discernment, and you might already know it. I just might be re-educating myself, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, the New Living Translation says, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training, underline that, through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And we read that a believer who has matured beyond using the milk of the word as a babe in Christ is able to discern both good and evil. The maturing believer is empowered by the Spirit of God through the scriptures to tell the difference between good and evil. And beyond that, he can also distinguish between what is good, watch this, and what is better. Okay? In other words, any born-again believer who chooses to focus on the Word of God is spiritually discerning. There are certain believers, however, who have a spiritual gift of discerning spirits. That is the God-given ability to distinguish between the truth of the word and the deceptive doctrines propagated by demons. We are all, everybody in here, encouraged to be spiritually discerning. But some in the body of Christ have been given the unique ability to spot the doctrinal forgeries that have plagued the church since the first century. This discernment does not involve mystical, extracurricular, biblical revelations or the God just speaking to you. but rather the spiritually discerning are so familiar with the word of God that they instantly recognize what is contrary to the word of God. Let me just make it plain. You ever, I got any Bible readers in here? And you ever hear somebody say some stuff and they be speaking with a whole lot of confidence and authority and be dead wrong? And as soon as you hear it, you go, and if you're anything like me, you try to play it off, right? You try not to make the face. You know, that's my face. And so sometimes when I hear people say biblical stuff to me and I know it's all, I just go. I understand. And I ain't lying. I understand what you don't. I want you to catch this because this is so important. We have to be so in the word that when we hear something that ain't the word, we automatically begin to tune that out. And we begin to watch, okay, hold on. Who are you around that I love? Can we take it there? Who are you around that I love? Because I don't need you. And what's the strength of their faith? What's the strength of their Bible reading? Because I don't need you releasing that over none of the babes that are connected to me. You see what I'm saying? Because a baby will eat anything at first taste, right? It doesn't ask, what's that taste like? It just does this. And so we got to be careful about who we allow to speak into the lives of the people that we love, especially our young ones, right? So I want you to catch this. When you are spiritually or when you are biblically sound, you automatically know what's the word of God and what's contrary to it. They do not receive special messages from God. What I'm talking about is the type of believer that uses the word of God to test the spirits, to see which line up with God and which are in opposition to God. And let me tell you this, you know, I'm going to bring that back up. Holy Spirit is dealing with me about that. And he's really kind of smacking me because he said, I told you to write that down this morning. But beloved, this is what I'm praying for all of you, to be so scripturally sound that when someone says something to you or in a group that you're in, you automatically know where they're coming from. Now, this is deep. I want you to catch this. Because I promise you, beloved, that everyone is coming from somewhere. Whether they mean to be or not, whether we mean to be or not, we are all coming from somewhere. And I don't know about nobody else in here, but I always want to be coming from God. It doesn't mean that I'm always coming from God, right? You know, I'm not saying that I have perfected this, but my desire is to always be coming from God. And when you talk to me, I want you to hear the God in me. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let me tell you something. I'm so tired of talking to Christians that cuss as much as people in the world. I told my wife the other night, didn't I? I said, I'm so tired of walking away from pastors. And because of how they talk, I know that they got this title of pastor, but I don't even know if they saved or not. And I want you to catch this. I'm not saying that if people cuss they're not saved. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that Ephesians 4 and 29 in the New Living Translation says, don't use foul or abusive language. We have been in some situations where Miriam, we just thought some people was just like, you know, and I don't know that they're not sold out. I'm still trying to figure all of this out, right? But we have heard people say stuff like, God ain't delivered me from that cussing demon yet. You just got out of the pulpit. You was just preaching. And it was so funny to me because one time it happened and Miriam, you just couldn't tell her. You couldn't tell her that this person wasn't, you know, just at one with the Lord 110%. And sister got out that truck and got to, and I'm like, and I do this. Miriam sitting over, I just did like this. She gets in the truck and Miriam's traumatized. She said, everybody cusses, don't they? Now, here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to catch this. I'm not saying that if you cuss, you're not saved. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is God thought it was important enough to say, don't use foul or abusive language. Now, that's the NLT. Now, I'm teaching here. I want you to catch this. Let me read you the same verse in the New King James Version, and I want to show you something. The New King James Version says, and this is the one I read when I was in prison. This, because I didn't have New Living Translations and NIVs and all that. We had King James Version and the New King James Version, and that's all the jail budget had. You wouldn't get nothing. Look, I got a chaplain over here talking about that. That's right. In the jail, they give you better have good eyesight, because if you don't have good eyesight, you're going to need glasses when you get out. If they get them Bibles, I don't know how many of y'all been in jail before, but they got them Bibles that you got to be like, what? For the record, Apostle, I was talking about the Louisville jail, thank you. But, you know, y'all's budget's kind of whack too, though. Listen to what the New King James Version says. This is what blessed my soul as I was coming out of Islam into Christianity, as I was coming out of the streets to Jesus. It said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart. Catch this, grace to the hearers. Now you see that word corrupt. And this is powerful because in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts, there's that word again, good habits. Now, I want you to catch this. Different verse, but same word. Except in Ephesians 4 and 29, the word corrupt is being used to describe the type of word, okay? But in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, the word corrupts is used to explain what something can do. You see how it's playing two different ways? Okay, so catch this. And the word corrupt means to change from good to bad in morals, manners, or actions. See, we have to always understand the assignment, which is to be careful that when we leave someone's presence, we have encouraged them in the faith and not corrupted them. If you notice, let me go back to Ephesians 4 and 29, the New Living Translation, the last of it says, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them, okay? And so we have to be careful that our words encourage. If I spend time with Kevin, I have been guilty of this, and Kenneth knows this to be the truth. I have walked out of conversations with these guys, and I know that I didn't encourage them. Transparency, okay? Because I was not always spiritually mature, right? And this is why I love Kevin and Kenneth, because they sat through some of the worst of me, knowing everything. Amen? Sat through the worst of me. And I asked Kevin one day, I said, man, let me... What are you you stick around for? I mean, because there was a time in my ministry where I was just done. Have you ever just been in your life like, you know, like, maybe I'm just not him? And I said, man, what do you stick around for? Because and we're on, I don't know if you remember, we're on the phone and I'm in tears because my life is jacked up and I'm preaching every Sunday. I'm preaching all over the state. I'm preaching really all over the world. And Kevin says, believe in you, Pastor. Oh my God, I could have wrecked my car. Could have wrecked my car. I believe in you, Pastor. Hold on, you know everything. But I believe in you, Pastor. And when he said that, I began to understand what Satan had been trying to do with my, because we're not just gonna put it all on him, okay? With my approval, with my permission, right? Because he ain't that powerful. We just give him power. We just give him permission, right? So when he said that, I began to understand. I began to think about that stuff, and I began to understand like Satan is not after he's after my soul, but in the meantime of getting my soul, he wants to kill my credibility. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I'm sitting in the car, I'm weeping behind this man saying this to me, and he's but I believe in you, man. You remember, my wife, he said, I remember that. I mean, many of you that were here don't even know. Kenneth and Kevin knew this. I was on my way out. I was done. And it wasn't because of church folk and all of that. It was because of me. And then I went back and I thought about all the conversations that I had had with Kevin and Kenneth. And I thought, my God, I have corrupted them. But what they should have been corrupted. Let me back that thing up. They should have been corrupted, but God is so good that he didn't allow the corruption to happen. They kept it holy, which convicted my spirit to get back holy. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is why it's so important that you can't have yes men and yes women in your life. You got to have some people in your life that when you lose your mind, they are going to stand there and remind you of who you are and who God called you to be. So we have to understand the assignment. That when we leave someone's presence, and that's what I'm on now, I'll be like, was I grace to the hearer? Did I spread grace to the hearer? The person who was in conversation with me, are they better for it because of my relationship with Christ? Or are they worse for it because of hypocrisy? Listen, last week I said that you can go to college and pass every class and not necessarily agree with the instructor. You don't have to agree with them to pass the class. You just have to do the work. Well, the kingdom and college are nothing alike. Because when it comes to the things of the kingdom, they are just expected. They aren't just expected to be done. Jesus wants you to agree. Listen, God doesn't just expect you to do stuff. He expects you to agree. I can prove it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. We find Jesus saying this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This is powerful. This is powerful. When we begin to sit back and think about how many people have you heard profess Christ, right? And Jesus, not the disciples, not the Apostle Paul, not Peter, not any, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. This is deep. And then he goes on in verse number 22, and he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And listen to what Jesus says. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's take it deeper. Let's listen to what else Jesus said. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. The Messiah says this, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right. He's prophesying. He's repeating a prophecy, right? He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Now, I was on social media, and I promise I'm coming off that thing. I am coming off that thing. I don't know about nobody else, but that thing right there, that thing right there. Woo! Because the way I'm built, I be wanting to say stuff. You know what I'm saying? and I know that's a setup from Satan, because people been dying to say some stuff to me, right? But we just, and it's like they throw it out there like, you know, like, see if you, and these people don't even know me. They don't even know me. And I be like, you want me, don't you? You wouldn't say it if you did. So I heard something that was crazy. I heard something was crazy. A pastor says, look here, if you smoke weed and drink, that's cool, as long as you're doing it for health reasons, even if it ain't legally. Eighty-eight likes and loves. That's how far I studied it, JC. I studied it. I 88 likes and loves. I put my glasses on and I read it again. And then I went down the list of the 88 likes and loves, and I said, I'm coming off social media, because I wanted to jump into 88. Inboxes and be like, you know better than that. But do you know what that is? That's a man-made Christianity, right? That's a man-made. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not, you know, I ain't better than nobody, right? We went to Detroit. All I smelled in the air was weed. I was like, what's going on? I smell weed everywhere. And then some guy says, oh, it's legal here. I said, really? We're moving here. The Bible says obey your governing authorities. We're moving to Detroit. I was telling me, I was like, don't you like it here? I called Kevin. I said, guess what? In Detroit, it's legal. I'm moving. And so, but what this pastor was saying, all jokes aside, what this pastor was saying was, do you. And then he said, and everybody else should mind their business. But see, here's the hit. See, now I want you to peep the game in it, okay? See, that church will fill up. He understands. He gets it. And he also gonna get hell. He's also gonna, because you can't just be saying that stuff, man. And even if he didn't mean it like that, bro, break that down. Go on a video and say what you really mean, if that's not what you meant. But do you understand how many people are struggling in certain areas of their life where you just said it's okay, and all we needed to see was pastor in front of it? Well, if he said, then it's got to be okay. No. You know, Miriam's been asking some time now. She's like, you know, you think I ought to try that medical marijuana? I'm like, well, if you do, I guess I have to show you how to do it, because you don't know. Oh, what you do for love. I guess I had to show you how. But you understand what I'm saying? I don't, listen, meant that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how he meant that. You know what I'm saying? But I know I read it four times and none of the words changed. And if I wasn't saved, then I would have took that some other type of way. You know what I'm saying? Jesus directly addresses the scribes and the Pharisees with an 8th century before Christ prophecy of Isaiah, including Judah's hypocrisy. This is what he says in Isaiah 29:13. He says, this is basically what he was saying. Jesus said, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Jesus emphatically states that Isaiah was talking about them when he prophesied in Isaiah 29:13. It says, the Lord says, see, Isaiah said this first, right? All the way back in the New Testament, Old Testament. And Jesus was repeating this. But this is what Isaiah said. The Lord says, these people have come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. Now, let's go back. Actually, take me back to Matthew 15:7-9. I'm just going to teach a little bit here, if that's okay. And in verse number 8, it says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I want you to catch this. Jesus knew they was full of crap. He knew it. He knows everything, right? He knows everything, right? He knew they was on foolishness. Now, there is believers that don't know, and Jesus knows that, right? So he deals with those scenarios as they are. See, there's tons of people in the world that just don't know. And the beautiful thing about that is Jesus knows they don't know, so he ain't holding that against them. What he's got a problem with is the people that know. You see what I'm saying? See, it's grace when you don't know. You understand? You know, he ain't expecting you to have it all together when you don't know. But when you stand up here and you teach from here, you know. You know. And he says, I got a problem with that. And they were saying stuff like, but we healed the sick, we raised the dead, we did all of these things, right? And he said, that's because my name is all that. My name is all that. A wretched sinner could do that because my name is the bomb. You understand what I'm saying to you? But don't act like you didn't know. And I thank God, because as a pastor, I have grown into who I am now, because there's just some things. I would roll over and say, Miriam, I just read this. I didn't know it. Whoa. I need to repent. Well, why am I sharing all this with you? Because we don't got it all together, right? But the old saints used to say, if you know better. So Jesus, he basically says what Isaiah said in 29:13. Now I want you to catch this. The word translated as hypocrite in Matthew 15:8 has its origin in a classic Greek term meaning one who wears a mask. And it references an actor or a pretender on the stage of a Greek drama. Because you got to remember the time frame that we was in, okay? These are the days of the, you know, the setting and all of that we were in. And so it references an actor or a pretender on the stage of a Greek drama. Get this. A hypocrite professes beliefs and opinions he does not hold to conceal his real feelings and motives. it says a hypocrite wears an outward mask to cover up what's inside his heart. He says one thing with his lips, but his heart reveals a different truth. And that's one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem, in the 21st century westernized church. There's too much acting going on. Too many people performing, saying all the right things, acting a certain way in one setting and then another way out of the presence of the sanctified public. And Jesus and God through Isaiah both said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, because he recognized the false piety and spiritual acting of these Jewish religious leaders. But I've been around some people that, boy, y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, boy, can make you feel like they should just pastor 50 churches, right? And then I get around them. I get to know them. And now what I'm doing is I'm praying for flocks that I don't pastor, right? I'm praying for flocks that I don't pastor now. And I want you to join me in that, to pray for flocks that don't. I'm not saying that we're the only ones that's preaching Jesus. I'm not saying that. I believe that there's many churches in Lexington preaching Jesus. But I believe that there is a lot of buildings under the guise of church where people don't necessarily really want to live this thing all the way out, but so they can go someplace that tells them that it's okay the way that they live and you're still going to make it in. I believe a lot of that's going on. And the reason that we can't do that here is because I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love your families. I love your children. I love you guys. You don't got to like me in the flesh. Juanita Bynum, remember she said that? She said, in the flesh, you should hate my guts. Your flesh should hate my guts. I should be saying things to your flesh every week that makes you be like, I ain't never coming back here. See you Sunday. The flesh, but your spirit man should love me. Because that's what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with your spirit. I'm concerned where you're going to go. Does that make sense? Jesus said, you know, these people honor me with their hearts, with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. They claimed with their mouths and lips to love, honor, and worship God, but their hearts rebelled against him. Listen, and I'm done. If we are going to be real disciples, we are first going to have to pick a side in every area of our lives. This is what I had to learn. Baby, you got water over. You see me over here with these pooky lips, and you just let me keep on. I'm over. Y'all ain't said nothing either. Y'all just like, look at his lips. Just try. It's supposed to be family, this church. We are. Nobody said. Nelly, you need to get better soon. Nelly always made sure I had water down here. These people just let me drown in my dry saliva. I don't know what's going on around here. Listen. I want to say this again because it's very important. And I want you to catch this. Some of you might write it down. We need to, if we are going to be real disciples, we are first going to have to pick a side, get this, in every area of our lives. Because, you know, there's different facets to us, right? There's the work me, there's the home me, there's the Walmart me, there's the, you know, chilling with the guys, watching boxing me, they're watching the game me. There's a whole lot of facets, right? But in every area of my life, I had to make a decision. If I was going to be real about this, I had to make a decision. And you got to make a decision if you're going to be real about it. And we don't, here's a hit. We don't get to pick and choose when and where we are holy. We are holy in church as well as the Walmart. We are holy in the house and we are holy on the job. And not the version of holy that we come up with, not the version of holy that involves justifying, not the version of holy that's inconsistent with the word of God. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. Somebody read the next part. In all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Beloved, did you see that? Because this is powerful. I'm going to show this to you. This is crazy right here. The Holy Spirit showed this to me this morning. Peter said in verse number 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In all of your conduct, in everything you do, in everything you say, be holy. Now get this. This is the part, though. Okay, we gotta get these screens together. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Give me some more. Give me some more. Is there some more of that? You got some more of that? That's all you got? Okay. All right. I got some more. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, JC, when he's talking about this holy, right? He says, be ye holy, right? As I am holy, for I am holy. In other words, I want you to be the holy that I am. Whoa, God. I want you to be the holy that I am. Not the holy you've concocted, not the holy that you see on Facebook, not the holy that you see your pastor be. I want you to be ye holy as I, God says, as he is holy. That's deep right there. That's the Anita Baker said, this ain't no ordinary love. This ain't no ordinary holy. This ain't no ordinary holy. This is a holy that hurts. This is a holy that sacrifices. This is a holy that gives some things up. This is a holy that changes the game. This is a holy that changes the world. In all your conduct, be holy. And while I was working on this, the Holy Spirit was saying to me this morning, and you know, I didn't even start this sermon till 7 o'clock this morning. Real talk, I didn't start this sermon till 7 o'clock this morning. In fact, Miriam woke me up and said, you want me to shave your head? I said, I want you to leave me alone. Right? And then I said, give me till 8. I started at 8, didn't I? And then she said, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to shave your head in time. And so I just grabbed my computer. I said, fine. Give it to me, Lord. y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You ever feel God nudging you to pray at 3 a.m? And you just got in that real, and you ever wake up in that snuggle spot, that one good spot right there, you wake up and you know God is saying, talk to me. And you're like, are you serious? It is 2:42, Lord. It is cold. The heat hasn't kicked back in. What do you mean? Oh, okay. So then, if you like me, I do this. I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all. I'm just keep it real. I do this. Dear Jesus, I turn over on the other side, right? And he goes, I'm going to need you on your knees. Oh, you are tripping, Jesus. It's 2:44 now in the morning. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one that does that? I need some help. I hope I ain't by myself. And then you turn over and he says, no, on your knees. And you try to act like you don't hear him. I can't hear you. I'm talking to you. Then get up and be feeling some type of way because you didn't pray when you were supposed to, right? All right, check us out. We're done. I was working on this morning. Holy Spirit said, there's going to be some people in the building. I want you to catch this because this is deep. That's going to feel like living holy is almost impossible. That's what he told me. He said, then you tell them that I said that is a lie from the pit of hell. So I don't want to leave you unprepared. So let me tell you how you do it. You ready? Or at least begin to do it. Let's go back to my favorite verse as a pastor. Acts 2:42. And the reason that this is my favorite verse as a pastor, because this means that they got it. As a pastor, we shouldn't be concerned with salary. We shouldn't be concerned with fame and fortune. Our main concern should be that you get it. Beloved, let me tell you something. If you don't get it, I fail. If you don't get it, they might not get it. We fail. This is why we gotta stay on this. This holiness, because watch this. We done made stuff from us. And they can't go through what we went through. Right? So here's how we hit it. All the believers, New Living Translation, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So here's one. You got to commit to the teachings. Nothing I talk about is worth anything if you don't apply it. You have to hang with people that's own what you own. Y'all notice on our Facebook page, the cover page is a bunch of lions. And what does it say? Surround yourself with people that's on the same mission as you. I got some cats in the street that I love with my whole being, but I'll never ride in a car with them. Never again. It's not that I'm better. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I'm set apart. You understand what I'm saying to you? And here's the thing. Can I just be real? I got a hard enough time being saved. I don't need to be around some unsaved and going, I remember when I used to do that. That sure was fun. Jesus, help me. No. Stay where I'm supposed to be, around the people that I'm supposed to be around. You remember that? I said, hey, man, what you doing? He said, nothing. I said, I'm coming to get you. It's Friday night. I'm like, he was like, what are we going to do? I said, we're just going to ride around the city. We're just going to ride around the city. We called Kenneth. You know Kenneth. No, I'm laying down. Me and Kevin jumped in the car, started riding city. And what did we end up doing? We jumped in the car. We riding city. We just riding and talking. And next thing you know, we over some saint's house pulling the demon out. Real talk. We just ride. It's Friday night. Feeling a little. Let me call my dog. Let's ride. And the next thing you know, we at a saint's house exercising demons. I said, well, this ain't what we set out to do tonight. Yeah. All right, check this out. So, and then the third thing you got to do is you got to pray with one another. This is so simple, but the enemy wants you to believe that it's so hard, right? But I promise you it's not. But you have to commit to the teachings. See, anything that you don't commit to, you will always be in opposition with. You see what I'm saying to you? But you have to commit to the teachings. The NIV version says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Here's what the Amplified Classic says. Now, remember this from last week or week before last. And they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. Listen, I want to say this to you and I'm out. It don't make you no less than because you commit to the teachings. It make you who you say you are. And it make you what you say you are when you commit to the teachings. I am the pastor of this church, but there has been a many a day Jeff has sent me in the office and said, Brother Lyons, yada, 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 yada. And I go, I'm your pastor. I don't say it out loud because he's Father. But the Holy Spirit says, shut up and listen. He says, shut up and listen. Many times he done got off the phone with that man. I done got off the phone with him. That's it. I'm telling you, boy, when I see him this time, I don't care about him being my dad. Holy Spirit says, shut up and listen. And I am a man of God because of him. Teachings that he taught, he didn't even know he was teaching. Always do the right thing because it's always the right thing to do. You know, things like that, right? But I had to say, hey, I'm the pastor, but let me humble myself and be taught. You see what I'm saying? See, in the world, we got this thing, this I'm grown complex. But it is. This ain't about an age. This is about a heart. So how do we do it? We commit to the teachings. Amen? We hang with people that's on the same thing we own. And we pray together. Now, before I close, I got to read this real quick and we out. And I saw this on a video and I said, I'm not going to do it because I don't want somebody to say he's just trying to be like somebody else. And then, was it Monday? John and I were at the library recording a video. And at the end of the video, John says, hey, Pastor, God has put something on my heart I think that we need to do. And I said, okay, what's going on? And he said, God's put on my heart, we need to fast. And I just started laughing. I said, man, I promise I'm on that already. I said, God's been telling me the same thing. Wilma, it's going to be okay. I thought Wilma said, no, not again. So listen. So I sat back and I thought about it. It's December. And here's what you see churches do all over the world. At the beginning of the year, everybody goes on this fast or this Daniel fast and all of that, right? But I remember reading in a book by Jensen Franklin where he said, we fast before so that we can walk into, right? So if you fast, start on January 1st, and then you leave on the 21st, or you're done with the fast on the 21st, and then my wife delegates because that's her birthday. But if you do that, then you're already in the year. So I petition God, and I'm like, okay, what do we do here? Because I know Christmas is coming up, and I'm gonna tell you something. The Lord gets frustrated with us. He does. I said. It's Christmas, and he's like, I don't care about no Christmas. I told you to fast. And so I'm like, but what I don't want to do is I don't want to put a fast on the church that with everything that's going on, and so suddenly, so soon, you don't keep it. And then you feel some type of way about you, and then you feel some type of way about me. So I continue to pray. And so you're lucky, okay? You're lucky. I'm a praying man. And so instead of 7 days, the Lord gave me 3. So I'm and my wife claps. So listen, let me read this and we out. Starting a fast, and this is important, 3 days. For the mature saints, listen up. For the mature saints, nothing but water. If you have meds to take, because I know that's coming, if you have meds to take, eat once to take your meds, and that's it. You don't need a full course meal to take medicine. All right? You do not need meatloaf, cabbage, macaroni and cheese, and because I got to take my medicine. No. Eat a piece of meatloaf and take the medicine and act right. Okay? Minister Wilmer said the doctor. She called me on a Monday. It wasn't even in the afternoon. You hear me? We started the fast on a Sunday afternoon. Wilma was on my phone Monday. She said, hold on, my doctor said. I said, Wilma, you ain't been to the doctor. You ain't been to the doctor. All right, listen to the rest of this. So you don't need a full course meal to take the medicine. And you got 14 days to get ready for this, okay? For those of us that are new to fasting, you can eat fruits and vegetables and water. That's it. Fruits, and you can eat as much as you want to all the day long if you're new to fasting, okay? This is from 12 midnight, December 29th. So when we leave here Sunday, that Sunday at midnight, we start the fast. And we break the fast here, December 31st. Well, January 1st, 12 midnight, we break it in prayer and with food. So, what's that mean? So, if we have any clubbers in the house, you will be at Club Growth. You see that, Nick? If we got any clubbers in the house, let your sister know too. We will be, but I ain't talking about nobody, but let your sister know too. I want to keep this part serious, okay? We're going to break the fast here at Growth beginning at 2026 midnight. This is what we're fasting for. So all of your personal issues that you're going through, right? You fast for them. But this is what I also need in there. I'm going to be stingy and say, I need this at the forefront. I need you to be fasting for your church. I need you to be fasting for church growth, right? And church finances. I want you to be fasting for your personal issues. I want you to be fasting if there's any addictions. I want you to be fasting. If there's any issues with alcoholism, I want you to be fasting to get sober and stay sober. If there's issues with anger, if there's issues with, I don't know, whatever they may be, lust, anything, I want you to be fasting about these. Because what I want to do is I want us to walk into 2026 so powerful, so on fire. You know what I'm saying? And when we walk in and we've already fasted, we ain't got to go do that thing of the new year and all or everybody's doing. And they do it every year. And it makes me wonder, is God saying do that every year? Or is that something that people just do every year? So, but this right here, and listen, if it don't hurt, it ain't no fast. Even with you vegetable and fruit eaters, it's going to hurt good. The whole thing is to discipline the flesh, to draw closer to God so that we walk in the power that we're called to walk in. So come January 26th, 12, when we praying ourselves into the new year, everything about you should be different. During this fast, no TV. That's right. Listen. This is what you're going to eat. Who got a Bible? This is what you're going to eat. The word of God. You're going to eat the word of God 24/7 for your lunch, for your breakfast, for your dinner. Listen to what I'm saying to you. So some of you are going to say, why can't we watch no TV? Let me tell you why. Won't you? All right, mamas in the back. Thank you, Will. No. Listen. This is real. I want you to hear me, okay? Satan is trying to destroy us. He's trying to take us out. Now, all my grown people, you know why he's trying to take us out? Because if he can take us out, we don't leave this to nobody. You missed that. If he can take us out, I got a young man sitting back there gearing to be the next pastor of Growth Temple Ministries. 16 years old, on fire for Christ. But Satan is banking we won't have nothing to leave him. Satan's banking we won't have nothing to leave him. And so this is why this fast cannot be corrupted, there's that word, with TV, with internet. Married couples, know when you woo, woo, woo. Not for 3 days. Mm-mm. I promise I'm saved. And single people, you know. Wish you would, and we over here consecrating. Listen. But here's what it's for. It's to make it. It's to tell God whatever for you. And so here's the hit, and I'm done. We're gonna make a text list or a GroupMe app for the fasters, because if you're not gonna fast, don't lie about it. We'll be able to tell anyway. You'll be in a good mood, and we'll be like, I don't say that attitude of somebody starving. We're going to go on this GroupMe app, and what we're going to do is we're going to encourage one another. When it gets hard, you be real and jump on her. You remember when we did that? Hey, this is hard. I don't think I'm. And people, no, you can do it. And you got strength that way, right? And we're gonna hurdle through the finish line with this. But this is for this ministry. This is so that we become blood-bought believers that are not playing about the things of Christ. You two are grounded back there. And so stand to your feet. Let me get you out of here.